This is Arthur Upgren speaking. Professionally, I'm an economist and journalist. Scientifically, I'm what you might call a human guinea pig for the Laboratory of Physiological Hygiene at the University of Minnesota. A group of us Twin City business and professional men have volunteered to act as test subjects in a long-range study of the causes of heart disease. This project is not designed to protect us from cardiovascular ailments. Our satisfaction comes, rather, from knowing that our case histories may someday be valuable weapons in the fight against a ruthless killer.
The University reports to the people. From the campus of the University of Minnesota comes a report by radio designed to better acquaint you, the public, with the activities and services of your state university. Today, from the world-famous Laboratory of Physiological Hygiene, we bring you the story of one of the most significant research projects of our time, a study of modern man's way of life and its effect upon the human heart.
Not long ago, a Minnesota businessman, still in his 40s, applied for a $250,000 policy from a life insurance company. Due to the size of the policy, obviously a large sum of money to gamble on a man's life, the insurance company ordered a thorough physical examination of the applicant. Every organ of his body was checked and pronounced normal. But 7 days after the policy was issued, the man was dead. The cause? Heart failure. To medical science, in spite of great strides in other fields, the origin of cardiovascular disorder is still largely a mystery. Yet here in the United States, more adults die of heart and blood vessel ailments than by any other single cause. Today, in a unique laboratory within the walls of Memorial Stadium at the University of Minnesota, a coordinated team of experts in a wide variety of medical fields is taking the initial step toward a possible answer to one of science's most baffling questions: the origin and causes of degeneration of the heart and blood vessels. For a first-hand report on this major experiment in the field of medical research, we take you by transcription to the Laboratory of Physiological Hygiene in Memorial Stadium.
This is Ray Christensen speaking to you from the Laboratory of Physiological Hygiene. Honeycombing the walls of Memorial Stadium is an intricate series of laboratories, testing rooms, and offices, all related to the complicated but important business of cardiovascular research. Heading the impressive list of scientists at work on this project is Dr. Ansel Keys, one of the country's leading research specialists. Today, he is here at our university microphone with three of his colleagues to tell us something about his laboratory and its vital objectives. First of all, Dr. Keys, could you give us an overall picture of the heart disease problem in the United States?
Well, Mr. Christensen, it's pretty well recognized today that cardiovascular disease is our number one medical problem. Through research in other fields, we're gradually eliminating the major medical disorders of childhood, which means that more children will grow to maturity. And since cardiovascular ailments occur most frequently in adult life, this means that, as time goes by, more and more people will arrive at the more vulnerable age for this type of disease. In fact, it's estimated that in 10 years, we'll have an annual rate of more than 1 million deaths from cardiovascular disorders.
Those figures certainly tell the story. But now, what about your work here at the laboratory?
Our job here is to try to get at basic facts of heart and blood vessel disease. We're now beginning to realize that there is only a limited amount of advance possible in repairing cardiovascular damage. Take my 1939 model automobile. We finally gave up trying to repair the results of the beating it took at the start of the war. Recently, we put in a new engine. Well, the same is true of the human system. You can't repair it forever.
And with the human heart and blood vessels, you can't get new parts.
Exactly. And therefore, the real problem is to try to prevent cardiovascular damage. But before you can do that, you must first find out what causes it. What kinds of people, for instance, are most susceptible? What human characteristics are most closely related to disorder of the heart and blood vessels? What types of environment and human activity most contribute to high blood pressure? And so on.
How are you going about it?
First, we are studying people who, at the present time, have normal heart and blood vessel characteristics. In other words, we're going to find out what kind of machinery they have, and then watch the changes in their cardiovascular system over the years. For this, we've selected 500 volunteers in two general groups. First, a group of mature businessmen between 45 and 54 years of age, and second, a group of college students between 19 and 26 years old. As you can see, that gives us a group of men with comparatively new heart machinery, so to speak, and a group with older, more used machinery. And then, as what we call controls, we have a third group. These are men who already have heart or blood vessel ailments in various stages.
Just how do you go about studying these people? Are they under observation all the time?
No, the normal men are examined just once a year. Actually, we're most interested in three general sets of characteristics: dietary habits, activity habits, and emotional habits.
I gather, then, that these three characteristics have some special bearing on the condition of the heart and blood vessels.
Yes, these three, diet, activity, and emotional makeup, are probably major elements in the development of cardiovascular disease. For instance, Dr. Carlton Chapman here is working on the influence of diet on the cardiovascular system. How about your taking over for a minute, Dr. Chapman?
Yes, Dr. Key. We are mainly concerned with three dietary factors that are presumed to be related to disease of the heart and blood vessels. The first is obesity, or overweight. Over many years, we've found that people who are too fat are often not healthy people, and that seems particularly true for middle-aged or elderly people. Here in the laboratory, we are interested in finding out why it is that an increase in body weight over the accepted normal tends to make a person unhealthy and to limit his lifespan. The next point that interests us is the question of whether or not there are certain foods which actually cause hardening of the arteries or arteriosclerosis. For instance, there's a chemical substance commonly found in some foods that's thought to be related in some way to hardening of the arteries, but as yet, we have no absolute proof of such a relationship. Then, the last dietary substance we are interested in is plain, common table salt. Ordinary salt is thought by many to make previously existing high blood pressure worse. In fact, there's a diet which has taken the country by storm in recent years, the main purpose of which is to cut out salt. This diet doesn't cure the disease, but it is rather successful in the treatment of it. As it's now used, the diet is made up entirely of rice and fruit and contains almost no salt. But very few people can stand to eat this sort of mess for very long, so we're trying to make it more palatable without destroying its effectiveness.
I see. And now, how about your volunteer subjects? How are you testing them in regard to their diet?
We try to find out just what their eating habits are, and then we relate these eating habits to the condition of their heart and blood vessels. As Dr. Keyes mentioned earlier, each man is examined once a year. Then, each year, these measurements are related to our information on the man's diet. Up to now, other studies of this kind have been limited to one single set of observations. But by our method of regular checkups over a period of years, we'll obtain a lot more information than we could get by former methods.